If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy, Dale Lippin, in here. I got a cold one in hand. I'm ready to crack it as soon as you give me the okay. But I'm sitting here, fireside, chatting it up with my man, my partner in crime, Trey Van Buskirk. How are you?
Dude, I feel like I'm going into work on a weekend, and I'm just there to raid the beer fridge. Yeah. I'm not doing work tonight, dude. I'm just here to drink.
We're just here to have a good time. Can I go ahead and crack the first one?
Ooh, go for it. Solid crack, dude.
Solid crack.
That's years of experience right there.
That's it. That comes from a long line of Lippin men cracking open beer cans. That's a hereditary genetic beer crack is what that is.
Yeah, you feel that lip. Let's go. Yeah,
let's do it, man. So what do you got going on, man? What are we doing tonight? I know this is a little bit of a different episode. No UFC this weekend, but we did have UFC this last weekend. Tons of stuff to talk about in that regard. And then Taylor fought. Dude, a lot of stuff has happened since the last time we recorded.
I know. I was worried you were going to Lewis smoke on me and not show up, dude.
Well, here's the thing is, realistically, I don't think anybody really anticipated that fight happening. That was a fight that was announced. And from the moment they announced it, they were like, Sean O'Malley versus Lewis Smolka. Okay. But nobody was like excited about it. You know what I mean? So like Smolka pulls out and now it's exciting. Who's going to step in? Yeah. Right? There's like the smorgasbord of bantamweights chomping at the bit to beat up Sean O'Malley, which I really like. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that people hate him and want to beat him up. So yeah, I'm excited about that. And we did some listener questions. We're going to get to those. O'Malley popped up quite a few times on those. So I'll get those pulled up and we'll get into action there here shortly. But before we do, let's talk about something.
Okay.
On Friday night.
Yeah, dude, massive.
Right around the time, I guess if you were eating dinner around that time, you know, you could have been, but somebody else was eating. Somebody else was eating good. Our boy, Taylor Tombstone Johnson, goes into the Mohegan Sun and just walks out with a big, fat, greasy, just Jameis Winston licking his fingers, get that W, nom, 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 nom. Just crushes the boogeyman from Team Elevation.
You know, it's funny, looking at prop bets on that, of course, we were all thinking, well, let's go Taylor by knockout. You know, yeah, he's going to fight Lance Wright, who has no hands. All Lance Wright is going to want to do is grapple and try and find the submission. But our boy doesn't even care. He's like, dude, you want a grapple fest? You want to do a little jiu-jitsu? Let me choke you out. That's what happened.
Yeah. So I'm going to preface this before we get too far into this episode. This is a different format. Normally we break down fights, betting, all that kind of stuff. We don't have a UFC event this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about some fights that are going to happen between now and the next UFC event. That's fine. Last time that I went off on a little rant, we started talking about things that were not MMA related. A couple of people got in their feelings about it. So I'm going to tell you this now. If you don't want to hear me talk about things that aren't MMA, you don't hear Trey talk about things that aren't MMA, just go ahead and turn it off. Just turn it off now. It's okay. But you've been warned. This is not a normal episode. We're going to talk about everything. So Taylor gets that big W. What did you make of the strategy, right? So Lance comes out, shoots for the legs. We knew that was going to happen. Taylor starts hitting him. He immediately changes his tune. And then obviously it flips into a grappling match. But prior to that, Taylor had a little bit of like bounce in a step, little light on the feet, little Muhammad Ali back shuffle. What did you anticipate there? What did you think of that? That was a different kind of look. I know he said afterwards he was looking at trying to calm down, pace himself better. Do you feel like that worked? Do you feel like he seemed more poised and under control? Objectively speaking, I mean, I know he listens to the show and he'll beat you up, but do you think that was a good look for him?
I thought it was interesting. We actually got to see how elusive he is in the scramble. I think we all knew Taylor is a world-class wrestler. We know he has fallen in love with his hands as of recently, but we kind of got this bad taste in our mouth when he fought Johnny Eblen. Johnny Eblen's an amazing wrestler, and Taylor had a horrible weight cut. So he looked a little bit sluggish, a little bit slow in those scrambles. But when he goes against a guy who is grade A style jiu-jitsu scrambling and he comes out the victor and has top position and looked really swift in those transitions, I was like, gosh, where can this guy be beat? And I'm not just saying it because, yes, he's a Punchless Femme member. He's a Punchless sponsored fighter. But I look at the rest of the division, and I'm like, gosh, he's submitting people like Ed Ruth. He's submitting people like Lance Wright that are like jiu-jitsu specialists. He's, you know, on a poor weight cut, having a, you know, a decent fight with Johnny Eblen, who's on a run right now. I'm looking at these and I'm thinking Taylor is literally someone to be reckoned with in that middleweight division.
Well, I mean, they're talking about putting him in the top 15, which I think is fair. But the middleweight division in Bellator is crowded at the top. So right. 15 or top, like maybe 15 through 9, not a lot going on there. I say this because I'm not the one fighting, but should be relatively easy to move yourself into that point of contention with a couple quality wins, which he has here. So I'm anxious to see what comes next. I did enjoy a couple things, a couple takeaways from that. One, I don't know if it was Bellator's idea or what, but they had him tape up just about 90% of the sponsors on his shirt.
Yeah.
The ones that he did not tape up or did not have to tape up were Allegiance, Spy, and ours. So sucks to be Precision Rifle Solutions. but, you know, I loved seeing the Mike logo in there, which brings me, we ran a contest.
Yes.
So normally we wait till the end of the show to give something away, but I feel like I'm in this, I got the Christmas spirit now.
Were you giving it all away? I know we have a whole kit and caboodle?
No, not the whole kit and caboodle, but we said, if you take a picture of the logo, share it on your story, tag Allegiance and Taylor in it, we'll enter you to win some Allegiance swag. So fun thing, because I do what I want. And then thankfully everybody's cool with the things that I do. I went ahead and created that contest, and Roy was like, hey, what are we doing here? And I was, so I was like, eh, well, we're going to give some Allegiance stuff away. And he's like, all right, cool. So Roy said, pick somebody and, you know, we'll give them a $50 digital coupon for the Allegiance online store. So if you go to allegianceclothing.com, you can normally use our promo code PUNCH and save 15% off the entire thing. But if you participated in the giveaway and you're entered on the wheel here, you have the opportunity to win an additional $50 to use at your leisure at the Allegiance store. So you cool if I go ahead and select somebody for that?
Is my name in there?
Your name is not in there.
Okay. Well, okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. It's not fair if we do that. So,
okay. Right.
I know that you like to interject yourself there. All right. So let me share my screen here. Let's go share screen.
Dale, if there is no pirate music, I send it back.
I understand. All right. So let me know when you can see this. We'll get the random name generator on there. Can you see it?
Wow. Did we get like a graphics guy? Why does our wheel look so colorful?
That's because I did this. Wow. Okay. Now,
Producer Jake didn't do it.
Producer Jake did not do this. Now, here's the thing. Hold on. Let me stop sharing for a second because I'm pretty sure I didn't select the option that allows me to share with audio. We're going to go Chrome tab, share audio. See, you almost had to send it back. Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right. We're going to go ahead and pick one. All right. Ready to rock and roll?
Cue the music. So good.
Dalton Kent. We're going to remove all instances of my man Dalton. But Dalton, hit us up on IG, brother.
That must be a superhero. I've never heard a name like that.
Yeah, so it's a great name. Strong name. His parents took their time and named him aptly. Dalton Kent, congrats, man. You won $50 from Allegiance. The only thing that we ask is when you buy a bunch of Allegiance stuff, you have to also shoot guns while wearing it. Outside of that, you're good to go, man. Yeah. So, all right, let's get into something else, American, real quick. Let's pay a bill. If you're not aware, I posted something about it the other day. Stay Classy Meats run a 4th of July special, free overnight shipping. This is today. Actually, what is today? The 29th?
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight/tomorrow is the last day that you can order the 4th of July special from Stay Classy Meats. So if you go to Stay Classy Meats, go to the 4th of July special, 25% off and free shipping, 5 pounds of ribeyes and 2 pounds of Mexican blue shrimp overnighted. Woo, through the power of modern mankind directly to your doorstep overnight. 5 pounds of steak, wow. 2 pounds of Mexican blue shrimp, 25% off. You can use promo code FIST as well and save an additional 10%. That's a thing that's happening right now. You just have to go to steakclassymeats.com, use promo code FIST, and you can save all kinds of cash.
Dude, are you prepared for 4th of July? You eating some wieners?
You know what? Honestly, good. This will be Dale's first rant of the night. So
it's because you said Mexican shrimp, dude, right? Yeah. It should be American shrimp.
No. I'm okay with Mexican shrimp. All right. Okay, cool. Although, what are Mexican shrimp called? They're called something else. Are they chicharrones?
I don't speak that language. Producer Jake.
He's not here. Damn it. Okay. There's a different something with a C. The Mexican word for shrimps. No, that's well, those are huevos. Huevos. Okay. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay. So I live currently in a neighborhood that's fairly new construction. But I've been here. I was one of the OGs of the neighborhood. I was here like before everybody else was.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I, being a, you know, red, white, and blue blooded American,
yeah,
would do it up big for 4th of July.
Right.
I love to blow stuff up. Love to drink a lot of beer. I listen to Cameroon. Thank you, chat. It's close. Well, I say chicharrón, Cameroon. Close.
Still don't know what it is, but go on.
That's a Mexican shrimp. Anyway, okay. I say all that to say this. I used to always go big for 4th of July. Then we got some people that moved in. And they have sort of strong-armed the 4th of July festivities away from me and made it much more of a, if I'm the party planning committee, I get to choose what I do and how I do it kind of thing. So Where it was me for the longest time, just kind of making it like a potluck thing, everybody in the neighborhood, out in their front yards, we'd all block off the street, let the kids ride their bikes, shoot off fireworks, do that. You know, now it's got like an official dude party planning committee. They pool all their money together to buy a bunch of fireworks. They bubble, you know, towers and slides and stuff for the kids. And that's all well and good.
It's cool.
But that's not how I did it. So now my 4th of July is just back to being me again. So I'm probably just going to buy the good stuff, you know, some snakes and some sparklers and drink some beer. I don't know.
That seems fine. It sounds like your neighborhood went the safe route, dude. And that's cool, man. You're becoming more California as we speak.
Yeah. So it's all communal. What's that type of government where everything's part of a community? What is that called?
Democracy?
It's something. It's like communities in the name of it, where it's like everything you have is mine too. We all share. What is that called? I forget what that's called.
Communism.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
Speaking of California, what's up with your state, bro? You guys banned travel to a couple states today because they have anti-gay laws or viewpoints or whatever. What's that all about?
I don't know, dude. I still have these shackles on me. I'd like to leave my house at one point this year. But when the government allows or gives me the key or tells me where the key is, I will leave on my own accord. On my own accord.
Right. Once they give you the key. What do you know what the states are that you're not allowed to visit?
I have no idea. I don't leave the confines of San Diego, dude. I am freaked out, dude.
It's so dumb, man. I can't believe this stuff is happening. It's like, it literally feels like, I know everybody keeps saying like, it feels like the movie Idiocracy. It feels like we're living in a cartoon, 1984, whatever the case may be. It's just, it baffles me, man. It absolutely baffles me. Some of the stuff that just goes on, man. I don't know. Here's the thing. Here's what I love too. And I'm sure we'll catch heat for it at some point in time, but I went on somebody posted something on Instagram or whatever, and it was a clip. Because you have us following the New York Times, because I think you try to piss me off once a day.
Yeah,
they posted something or somebody posted something, and it was Biden when he said that like you need F-15s and nukes to fight the government, and I just replied in there, "Your terms are acceptable." I'm cool with that. Let's fucking let her rip, tater chip. I'm cool with that. All right.
Yeah.
No more anti-government propaganda, please. We're gonna get this. All right. So Kayla Harrison beat up Cindy Dandoy. That was fun. She snapped her arm. So PFL was really cool. Here's the thing about PFL, man. I feel like PFL is almost at this point unbettable. I don't really know what to do with that promotion, because your heavy favorites, with the exception of Kayla Harrison, are prone to losing at any given moment. And at any one point in time on any event, a plus three, plus four, plus 500 dog's going to cash. I don't know if that means you play all the fights or you play none of the fights. How do you approach PFL? What, I mean, what do we do with this promotion?
You just bet against Pettis every time.
I always bet against Pettis every time. So that doesn't bother me at all. So what, I mean, what do we do here? How do you bet PFL?
You don't, dude. You stay away. You stay away because everything is beyond up to interpretation because the weight of it is embedded into those matchups, whether it is tournament style or is just platform in general. Everything is subject to just falling by the wayside. 100%, man.
I got you. All right, let's talk about betting then. UFC Vegas, what, 30 was this last week, right?
Yes.
Alexander Volkov taking on Ciryl Gane. That happened. I'll talk about it real quick because caught a little bit of heat about apparently I was coming across as a little bit bitter to people. And,
shocker.
Right. Which is, it's weird when you have money involved, how bitter you can become. So let's dive in with the main event here. Alexander Volkov fought Ciryl Gane. And here's the thing. I take nothing away from Ciryl Gane's performance. I thought he did everything he needed to do to win the fight. I would have liked to have seen him get a finish. And the reason why I would have liked to see him get a finish is because Alexander Volkov did not look like he wanted to be there at all. From the moment he walked out, he did not fight with the same ferocity that we saw in, say, the Overeem fight or the Walt Harris fight, which has now put this in my brain. When I'm thinking about Alexander Volkov, he does have fights where he takes the fight off or seems like he can't get going into the second or third gear, this Gane fight being one of them, which is frustrating because I was on him heavy talking about how it wasn't going to be that competitive and how he was going to manhandle him because I thought the Volkov that fought Overeem was going to come out and fight Gane. But instead, it's like I got a more durable Stefan Struve that came out.
Well, I think that's a tough comparison too, because you know what you get in that type of fight is you're going to get an Overeem who always starts off really slow. So it gives you an opportunity to dictate your own pace. With Ciryl Gane, we saw a guy that's a little bit more lighter on his feet, was able to mix it up a little bit. And I'll be honest, dude, I got a little bit nervous after weigh-ins because if you look at Volkov, we talked about his nutrition plan being more built. Sure, he looked more built, but he looked a little drained. He cut down to 265, so you know he barely got in there. I'm wondering if the weight cut was a little too much for him and not having the time to pick up his own pace was kind of a detriment to him in the end.
It was big. I mean, he's definitely the bigger guy by far. He was the one that had to cut weight. He just did not seem to be able to get it going. I don't know if it was the speed of Ciryl, the timing, the distance, the smaller cage. I don't know. Everything sounds like an excuse, but Gane went out, did exactly what he needed to do, and he won the fight. My bitterness, 2 points of bitterness came from that fight. One, DC has a gambler's mentality when it comes to calling fights. So you know as well as I do, and anybody that bets on MMA is guilty of this. When you bet on a guy, you're talking yourself into how he's doing. And if he's doing well, how well he's doing. Or if he's not doing well, what he can do to do better. And at times, you neglect the fact that there's a second person in there competing actively against your own goals. DC takes that same mentality into his commentary work. Right. He like focuses on a guy, and then it's like he's the only person in there. So by midway through the second round, it was like Ciryl Gane was shadow boxing himself. You would have sworn Jesus himself was out there two-stepping all over Alexander Volkov when in fact, midway through the third round, Volkov had actually landed more significant strikes. Now, so we're midway through the third round, Gane has done more damage, but Volkov has landed more significant strikes. DC cannot stop giving Gane the gut 3000. I was mad. Then the fight ends and two judges score at 50-45 and one scores at 49-46.
Yeah.
My problem is, do I think Ciryl Gane won that fight? Absolutely. Was it that competitive? No. He won the fight handedly. I have no problem in admitting that he won and I was on the wrong side of that. But 50-45s are bad cards. They're bad cards. 49-46, I feel, is heavy. 48-47 is fine with me. I think Gane won three rounds extremely easily. There was one contested round. And you can't tell me that round one or round two weren't clear, in my opinion, clear for Volkov. I watched it again because somebody hit us up in our DMs and was like, Dale, what's wrong, man? You feel like Gane's offended your ancestors or something. So I watched the fight again just to make sure I wasn't being a crybaby about it. I'm not being a crybaby about it. Volkov won rounds one and two. You can't tell me anything. And then if you say that, you can make the argument that he won round four. So he won at least two of those rounds, man. It's just the judging is bad. Doesn't change the outcome of the fight. Gane won. It's a weird point to camp on. Sorry, I'm rambling.
You're good. Speaking of fights, obviously, that you can't change the outcome of, that is the most unfortunate outcome. As you know, one of my heaviest plays of the night was a parlay between Tim Dirty Bird Means and Andre Touchy Feely.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot tell me people after that fight, the accidental eye poke, no contest. I understand it. I mean, Daniel Pineda wanted to be in that fight more than anyone else. Hats off to him.
Yeah.
But he said in his post-fight speech, yeah, Feely was fucking me up.
Yeah.
And people are calling for that a rematch? Absolutely not. If anything, it should be an overturned win, even though I know it can't, because Feely fucking won that bell to bell, no reason, accidental. There's no reason to run that back. The frustration obviously lies that I didn't hit, but God, Andre Feely freaking hit the shit out of Daniel Pineda. Fucking murdered him, dude.
Yeah, no. So here's
He was flowing the whole night.
He entered the Feely flow state, like we talked about, and he looked great. And with that, this is where the show win bonus system really sucks.
Yeah.
Because
for sure,
Feely, obviously puncher's chance, right? But Feely appeared to be on his way to getting a victory there.
Easy.
So the fact that fight ends as a no contest, he only gets a show money, doesn't get his win money, at least not that we know of anyway. That's a tough spot. But I'll make the same argument as this. There's no point in having that rematch because the outcome of that fight was not going to change. Within a reasonable doubt, was not going to change. And an eye poke ended it, much like the Leon Edwards Bilal Muhammad fight.
Right.
There's no need to run that fight back because that fight was only going to go one way, short of a puncher's chance, which – right. As the fight progressed, did not seem likely. An eye poke also ended that one. That does not, the parallels are uncanny. And both parties, Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad, Andre Feely, Daniel Pineda, should all move on and pursue other interests and other opponents in their careers because nobody wants to see it again. I don't need to see Andre Feely fight Daniel Pineda again to know that Andre Feely is going to beat him. Nor do I need to see Leon Edwards fight Bilal Muhammad to know that Leon Edwards is going to beat Bilal. I still need to see it. We saw enough of it. I got enough of a sample. It's like when your grandma makes you try a dish and you like it or you hate it. You don't need more bites to figure it out. One or two and you pretty much got it squared away.
Dude, you know what dish I want more than anything though coming off Vegas 30?
What's that?
Little dish of the main entree of Shavkat Rakhmonov, dude.
He's beast, bro. Trying to tell you, man, the Mongolian murderer. I know goes by Nomad, but dude, give me Mongolian murderer.
Dude, you know what makes him even scarier?
What's
Daniel
that?
Boone hat that he wears, dude.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of wearing dead animals. Big fan of wearing dead animals. Love the fur hat. Caucasus Mountain, any Caucasus Mountain region, and you wear a dead animal on you, you're untouchable. Yeah. Timur Valiyev.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Minus getting dropped, which scared me. He got binked right on the chin. Shout out to Robin Black. Got binked right on the chin and fell down there in the second round, but he recovered nicely and got rounds one and three in the books and beat Ronnie Barcelos. I listen, man, you give me those red, white, and blue and you switch up the colors a little bit and put them from the mountains and you can't tell me nothing, bro. I'll bet them dudes every day of the week, man. It's a dog that's going to fight for your money, bro.
Last thing I want to talk about this card real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Justin James obviously putting his show money on him to win money line, loses, says no regrets. No regrets, dude, whatsoever. Yeah. Think he has no regrets?
Maybe. Maybe he has no regrets. I don't know. I mean, there's certain people that money affects them differently. You know what I mean? I don't know what Justin James' life is like. I don't know what his financial situation's like. I don't know if he's, you know, eating ramen and, you know, hot dogs, or if he's Matthew McConaughey. It's all fugazi. It's fairy dust. Woo-hoo. I have no idea what his life is like. So 25 grand might not be much to him, or, you know, missing out on that, you know, or he might 25? Be dead ass broke.
He's getting 40 and 40 or something like that.
No, he said it was 25.
Okay.
Yeah. So he might be dead ass broke. I have no idea, man. But here's the thing, right? Is at a certain point, government says 18, but I'm pretty much inclined to go from 16 and beyond, especially if you're a man, no offense, women, but 16 on, you're a grown ass man. You're responsible for yourself and your actions. So if you want to bet 25 grand on yourself and lose, and knowing that that's your source of income and you want to be like, that's a risk you want to take, you're a grown ass man. You get no sympathy from me for doing that. You're not destitute, right? So like, here's the thing. It wasn't winner take all. It was like, you had the chance to put 25 grand, obviously, after the government puts their greedy little, you know, fingers in it and takes 30%, and then you pay your thing. So you're probably going to walk out of there with 12 to 13,000. 12 to 13,000, man, you know, that's depending on how you live and manage your money. That's, you know, get you going for another 4 months or so. So, you know, I have no sympathy for that, man. I really don't. It doesn't affect me at all. It was a calculated move on his part. It didn't pan out. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What do you think? You think that was good? I mean, listen, you're Mr. Conservative when it comes to your money. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I would have never done that. I don't trust myself more than I can throw myself, dude.
Yeah.
Especially, it's a game of punch face, dude. We talk about this. You could be the most confident son of a bitch on the planet walking into that octagon. It doesn't matter. Anyone on any day at any time can get clipped. I thought Charles Rosa, it didn't fare my bet at all. I had Charles Rosa money line from the start. I kept it. Wasn't worried the moment Justin James came out and said, I'm putting my complete show purse on myself. I was like, dude, come on. Let's talk about the versatility. Let's talk about the different angles. Charles Rosa is going to get it done. And granted, got it done by split, but got it done.
Hey, definitely did. I mean, look, there were parts of the fight where Justin James looked like he's going to get it. Here's what's crazy. As we sit here and we drink our beer, I love weigh-ins with Justin James because he has a 9-pack. And then when he fights, he looks like when you pop open a thing of muffin mix or cinnamon rolls and it's flowing out over the top. I don't understand how that's possible, but that my man rehydrates up to a wild like physique. That's very strange.
I just want to know, is every fighter sponsored by Manscaped?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
It's insane. Like, dude, where are the days that guys look like me, dude? There's one big fucking rug. Like, what happened to those days?
Listen, I don't know if you know this, but there is a plan in place to demonize masculinity and move us into a more androgynous, male-female hyperstate where we're all just blended together and you can't tell who's man and who's woman. And then it's offensive if you ask, if you can't figure it out.
Dude, I think it's of an advantage. Dude, when I grapple, especially Nogi, I put my freaking spandex shorts on, dude, and I got that big flow going down my chest, and then I get like a little north-south position, dude, and a little sweaty. It's like a Long Came Polly in that basketball scene. Dude.
I
flood some dudes with my chest hair.
From your chest pubes down to your ball fro?
Oh, dude, I'm one big cousin it just fucking flowing out.
Man, I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf. That's I like it. I understand. I get it 100%. You know who's not sponsored by Manscaped?
Huh.
Us.
Well, look at your face. Look at my chest.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So here's the thing. We're not sponsored by them, and we're not ever going to be again because screw them. So I'll burn that bridge. I don't care. So Manscaped promised us the world, and we cut great promos for them and told us they were going to use them and had a sign thing saying they were going to use our copy for actual advertisements. Told us they were going to give us stuff to give away. Told us they were going to do this, that, and the other, and never followed through with any of them. Never followed through.
If you ever hear a Manscaped ad about the San Diego Zoo and the chicks being infatuated with the turtle exhibit, know that was from your boy.
or just not even San Diego, it's just anything animal related, because we had a bunch of animal related stuff as well. And then what was the other one too? You made some visual copy for them too that they really liked.
Well, you talked about that it was kind of like the Microsoft Paint eraser where you
Yep, the paint program. Yep. They really like that too. And we signed paperwork saying they could use our stuff, and they said they were going to, and then they never did, and we never got credit for any of it.
Yeah.
So yeah. While their products may work, I don't care. They're shiesty in that regard.
I like the hair.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I say allegedly because somebody will report us and they're like, oh, they're defamation of character. We're in California. They're a California-based company. I'm sure they'll sue us for assuming their gender. All right. So
dude, what? I heard we had some customer questions today.
Oh, we did. Some customer questions. Some van. How about some fan questions? Freaking customer questions. You're out of control. All right. Let me get them pulled up, dude.
Hard kombucha's hitting the spot tonight, by the way.
Yeah, I know. This.
What are you drinking?
Equal parts fatigue and Michelob Ultra. So.
What are you, Lance Armstrong, dude? Why are you drinking that?
Just basically because my beer fridge out my garage is completely empty with the exception of a Michelob Ultra variety pack. So I haven't had a chance to go do like my pre 4th of July, like refill. So, yeah. My house has been very busy the last week or so. So I've fallen off as far as, getting some stuff. Shoot. That reminds me. Okay. Crap. When are we supposed to do the hot wings thing with Run It Back? It's not this weekend. It's next weekend, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not this weekend.
Okay, it's definitely not this weekend. So next weekend. Next weekend, Run It Back podcast, joint episode, us, Run It Back, Drew Dober, next weekend, right?
Yeah.
Super. I think that's right. I'm hoping it's not this Saturday. If it is, anyway. All right, let's see here.
That would be a good question to put out to all listeners, actually. What is the beer that's in the back of your fridge that just hasn't been touched since like the fucking 80s? You know, you always get these variety packs, and there's one in the variety pack that you never want to touch that ends up being the lone soldier that's just always back there.
Oh,
what
man.
Is that beer?
Do you have one? Do you have a couple?
I have one.
What is it? What's the one that's back there right now?
I get the variety pack from Kauai Brewing.
Okay.
Big Island Brew, and it's the golden ale by them. It's disgusting.
Dude, give it to me. I love golden ales.
Oh no, it's so gross. It tastes like caramel, but like toasted.
What?
Oh, yeah,
golden ales aren't supposed to taste like that.
Yeah, it's all screwed up.
For a long time, I had the this dude. They sat in there for years. I had like 10 of them. They were the Natty Light strawberry lemonades.
What are you, a 14-year-old chick?
No, so my brother, who came on the show, you know,
he's a 14-year-old chick.
He's a 14-year-old chick when it comes to drinking. He only he'll drink liquor, but he won't drink any beer whatsoever.
Yeah.
But he came down for 4th of July. This was years ago, and was like, hey, dude, Natty Light's got strawberry lemonade. Let's get a rack. And I was like, that's fine. Whatever, man. It's a day drinking beer. I don't care. They're so sweet. I don't care.
It's Gay Pride Month.
Whatever, man. So I drank like 4 of them, and then the rest just sat back there, man. I couldn't do it. So this sat there forever. But now in the back, I have 2 Voodoo Ranger IPAs.
Oh, dude, that's Friday beers right there, man. That's good.
Yeah, but they're like the different ones. They're like it's not just like the regular Voodoo. It's something else. I can't remember what it is, but they're like, I think they have a white label on them.
Okay.
I don't like them. And then I've got 2 Stella Artois sitting back there as well.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I've got
Those out with an Alexia DiCherico fights or what?
Yeah. And then I got some Mickey Ultras as well. So
such an athlete.
My son, we both of our sons had birthdays this weekend. And
I didn't know your kid had a birthday.
Yeah, man. So your son's birthday was on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And mine was on Sunday. And I did buy a bunch of Corona for my son. And those were gone. Those did not make it past Sunday. So
yeah.
So I did have real beer for a while, and then it was gone.
All right.
So let's get into some submitted questions.
Yes.
Who do you think is most likely to step in and fight Sean O'Malley?
Oh man, I have been chomping at the bit to answer this. I have 2 guys that I would love to see murder Sean O'Malley.
But okay, here's the thing. Not who do you want to see him fight, but who do you think is most likely? And then give me who do you want to.
No, I think both of these.
Oh, they're okay. They're viable options. Got it. Sorry.
Super viable. Super viable. Ricky Simon.
I love that option.
Cody Stamann.
Okay.
See? Okay. Oh, okay. Got a little eyebrow raise there.
Okay. I think Cody likes 145 though, but
Everyone's talking because Cody coming off the Merab fight, you know, like everyone wants to see, as do I, they want to see Sean O'Malley fight a wrestler. They want to see someone that's going to test him on the ground. This isn't the freaking Derek Lewis's of the world where you're just going to get a guy to stand and bang. You want to see the versatility in their fighting arsenal. Mm-hmm. I want to see Sean O'Malley on the ground. I want to see what his jiu-jitsu is. I want to see what pressure up against the cage looks like. Cody Stamann and Ricky Simon both have that in spades. And they're both right hanging in that. I think Cody's what, ranked 13 or 14? Simone's not even ranked. Like, they're all right there.
Okay. I got you. I'm gonna go with Brian Kelleher. I think Brian Kelleher is a good spot. And oh man. I like Ricky Simon too. I think that's a good one too. I'll go Ricky Simon. Give me Ricky Simon or Brian Kelleher. I think either one of those are good spots for him. I think they're equal parts competitive plus tough fights give us a good opportunity to see where O'Malley's at. So, yeah, I prefer to see Kelleher because I feel like Kelleher can do a better job mixing it up on the feet as well as implementing some wrestling. Whereas Simone is probably going to have a pretty clear cut game plan. We're not going to stand. We're going to take you down. And as much fun as I love seeing people get mauled or drowned slowly on TV, I'd like to see O'Malley be in a competitive matchup with somebody.
Right.
I don't want to say he fights so infrequently, but he does fight so infrequently. And when he does, it tends to either be a wild mismatch or he gets beat. So I want to see him evenly partnered up against somebody, like give him a willing, worthy and well-qualified dance partner.
Be nice to see Kelleher by guillotine.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Me likey.
All right. Let's see here. All right. This guy's asking for top 7 or top 10, but that's too many people. So top 3 bantamweights.
That I like?
Based on skill set. He says, give me your top 7 or top 10 135ers based on skill set. That's a long time. We'll be here forever talking about that. Give me your top 3 bantamweights right now that you like / skill set. What do you got?
I think outside of the, you know, quote unquote champion, I think the top 3, it's a revolving door. I mean, they're by far and away better skill sets. And Peter Yan, Corey Sandhagen, and Rob Font, dude. I think those 3.
Yeah.
There's such a disparity outside of that. Because once you go to the Jose Aldos, who's on the back end of his career, Cody Garbrandt obviously hasn't been lived up mental hype. Go down the line, Marlon Moraes, obviously he's eroded. I mean, it just starts to go down. You get into the Frankie Edgars. It's almost like guys of yesteryear until you get into the 8, 9, 10 rankings. But then those guys are too green. So I think it's literally those top 3. And I hate picking the top 3, but that's it. Outside of Aljamain Sterling. I don't think Aljamain Sterling is in the top 5.
Gotcha. I like Merab. I think Merab's a dark horse of that division. Good luck. I don't know who's going to beat him. I know Ricky Simon has the win over him, but I don't know about that. So just good luck beating Merab, whoever it's going to be. I like Rob Font, obviously. The win over Garbrandt was a masterclass, but I'm not knocking people over at the ticket booth to buy tickets to see Rob Font fight. Right. Now, the flip side of that, Corey Sandhagen, I believe, is can't-miss TV.
Yeah.
Corey Sandhagen is the next generation of what a combat sports athlete is capable of. He's a video game. He's an absolute video game. I won't stop singing his praises, man. I know he got human backpack by Aljamain Sterling, but I feel like if they fought 10 times, that happens one time. I think that was the outlier. It's really hard for me to not be super bitter about Aljo because I really feel like Aljo was getting pieced up by Piotr and really, I don't want to say took the easy way out, man, but
yeah, he did.
I've seen, and again, I'm not a combat sports athlete. I didn't fight that fight. I didn't get hit with that knee. Was it a blatantly illegal knee? 100% it was an illegal knee. I won't say that it wasn't. It absolutely was. And it's on Piotr Jan to be aware of the rule set in which he's competing. And it's like he looked at his corner and was like, should I knee him in the face? Yeah, I'm going to knee him in the face. And you knee him in the face. You did that, bro. You did that. And Aljo said he couldn't continue. And as such, man, it is what it is.
Where does TJ fit in this whole thing?
He's got to come back and win one. If he does, he's right back in it, man. I mean, I don't know how much of TJ's skill set was EPO related. I mean, he's an absolute murderer. He's a murderer, man. So we'll see what happens when he comes back. But if he comes back and he beats Corey, then
yeah.
Who are you to deny him anything? Will he always have the asterisk by his name? Of course, he's a cheater and he got caught. He admitted to it. It wasn't like a wrongful injection, picogram, gas station dick pill like John Jones, allegedly. I mean, the guy was, you know, basically putting horse blood in his body. So, yeah, I mean, he knew what he did. He cheated. He won while cheating. It doesn't count. But if he comes back and he accomplishes the same things clean, the asterisk gets a little bit smaller, but still there. It'll always be there.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm going to go on steroids, I think.
Do it. You should. You have no reason not to. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I'm worried about the rages, you know? I'm already kind of a fiery guy, you know what I mean? And
you think you're fiery?
I'm super fiery. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. What do you think your blood pressure's at?
I don't even know what numbers are normal and what are not.
Gotcha. Do you have a history of high blood pressure in your family?
No.
You guys seem pretty – I imagine it's kind of hard. I mean, isn't the whole thing with California, you guys are supposed to be laid back and kind of chill?
Yeah. We're minor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm not worried about the small dick thing. I already got that going. So it's like, who cares? You know what I mean?
That was a weird turn. I just, you know, you say you're fiery. I'm just saying, like, when was the last time you yelled at somebody in your car loud enough for them to hear it?
Like alone?
Just yeah, at all. Like when was
fiery. I'm not a psychopath, dude.
Oh, okay. So you're not that angry.
Are you screaming at yourself in your car alone?
Oh, bro, all day long. All day long. Dude,
we need to take you to a doctor.
All day long. You should. I mean, listen, you've talked to me while I'm driving. You know, I yell the whole time.
No, you're pissed off at other drivers, but if you're just sitting there alone screaming at God knows what, man, we need to take you to a doctor.
Oh, bro. Yeah. I mean, we should probably talk to somebody then. Okay. All right. We're
worried about you right now.
What's your most confident bet for UFC 264?
Oh boy, dude. Wonder Boy by decision.
Oh, for Gilbert Burns. Okay.
Dude.
You don't think he'll knock Gilbert out?
I mean, it's possible.
Okay.
I should just do straight money line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get cute. Just Wonder Boy over Gilbert. Don't get cute.
Are you there too?
Am I there taking Wonder Boy over Gilbert?
Yeah.
I feel like I always have to bet on Wonder Boy just because statistically there's just like two people on the planet that have ever beat him. So why three people? Why would I bet against him ever? I think Gilbert Burns is weirdly sneaky fast and can touch Stephen Wonderboy Thompson on his 41-year-old chin and knock him out? Yes, I do believe that he can. But on the flip side of that, I think that every time I think that's going to happen, he comes out and puts out some weird range fighting masterclass where he high kicks and straight rights you to freaking death. And then it just pisses me off to no end. And he was on his way to doing that to Anthony Pettis when Anthony Pettis knocked him out. So yeah, I believe that Steve Wonderboy Thompson is going to beat Gilbert Burns. I don't love that fight at all. Because even with a dominant win over Gilbert, they are not going to give Wonderboy another title shot. There is nothing – here, I'm going to go on record and say this.
No, it's just like his brother-in-law, dude, Chris Weidman. They're one fight away always from a title shot.
There is – well, here's the thing is that Wonderboy actually is and can make arguments for title shots. But here's the thing. The UFC is never going to give Stephen Wonderboy Thompson another title shot.
Why? Because
I don't care if he goes out there and kicks Gilbert Burns' face off. Like it's surgically removed. Like he takes it off the way Jessica I took that girl's ear off. I don't care if he does that to Gilbert Burns' nose. They will never, give Stephen Wonderboy Thompson another title shot. He's not on anybody's radar in the welterweight division. Nobody is going to fight him. Nobody. Well,
it's because the same when he fought Tyron Woodley in New York in Madison Square Garden, the most boring title fight of all time.
Oh, Damian Maya Anderson Silva was pretty bad.
Ooh, that was pretty bad. Speaking though, that was I was more so trying to get a rise because that is a very competitive fight. My most confident play, without a doubt, on this card, and you just said it. I'm not betting on Jessica Eye, but I am betting on Jennifer Maya to absolutely submit the shit out of Jessica Eye on 264.
You're wild.
What? Dude, that's a lock. That's not even a question.
You're wild.
I haven't even looked at the line. Dude, it's probably Maya minus 500.
Wild. You just make stuff up as you go. You really do. You just make it up as you go. I don't know about that at all. I don't necessarily know that I would call that my favorite play of the night. A couple fights on that card that I do really like. Tai Tuivasa versus Greg Hardy. Can we please, Tai Tuivasa, please do what we've been asking for. Yeah. Can you please knock him out? And then, you know, honestly, I really want to take Trevin Giles big money over Driscus Duplessis, but Trevin Giles continually pisses me off because he does not have the next level. He doesn't have the next gear to go into, and it makes me mad. But Driscus Duplessis, despite getting a win in his debut, was not impressing me prior to that.
Right.
Fight I am super excited about is Ilya Topuria versus Ryan Hall.
Yes, I love it.
But I can't say that I feel confident about that fight in any way, shape, or form, picking either side of that. I just really, really like the fight.
It's a great fight. This is what we always talk about. Wrestler versus jiu-jitsu. What is superior?
But Topuria's got a black belt as well.
There's levels.
I know there's levels.
Dude, I Ryan Hall can Imanari from the rooftop and find your leg, dude. Like, the guy is – there's a reason he's called the wizard, man.
For sure. Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of the one they pit prospects against each other like this.
Right.
But you got to separate the wheat from the chaff, so I get it. All right. And then obviously the main event, but we're not talking about the main event just yet.
Right.
All right. Would Dale rather only drink hard seltzers for the rest of his life or only bet women's favorites? Fuck out of it. I mean,
they both sound pretty enticing.
Oh boy. This is a tough one, man. Tough one. Yeah, it really is, man. It drew my first F-bomb out of me all night. I was trying to watch my language tonight. Would Dale rather only drink hard seltzers for the rest of his life? Dude, for the rest of my life, or only bet women's favorites?
Why is this a big deal, dude?
I'd rather only bet women's favorites. I need beer. I can't do hard seltzers.
Okay, you're obviously not trying to stay hydrated then. This is ridiculous.
I can't drink static. I can't drink TV static with the hint. It's like somebody ate a Starburst and burped into a can of static. That's what drinking a seltzer is like.
It is not anything like it. It's like,
dude,
what was that? What was that drink that Gatorade came out with? It was the water with the hint of flavor. It was a big deal for a really long time. It's not like that, dude. There's so many more notes. Yeah. That's what the people say that they're sophisticated.
Notes. Okay. All right, go ahead. Carry on. I drank a White Claw the other day, and I wasn't even sure that the can was empty. Like, I had one in. You're talking about the rogue actors in the beer fridge. There was a mango White Claw, which is under my assumption those are one of the good ones.
Oh, my God. Again, if you're a high school chick, yes.
What else am I supposed to be drinking?
Dude, Ashlyn, dude. It's made with alkaline water. Like, you could drink 500 of them, be on a super good drunk buzz, but then know you're like treating your body right at the same time. Dude, when you're drinking beer, trust me, you're making me seem like I'm like anti-beer. I love me some beer, but I'm also trying to treat my body like a freaking golden god that it is, man. And putting alkaline water in mixed with alcohol is what the gods said is how to live a life. That's what
if you were going to treat your body like a golden temple, wouldn't you have made the wiener part of it bigger?
Dude,
I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying, drink beer, drink mead, drink whiskey. That's it. That's all you need.
I'm all thrown off. You're talking about my wiener now.
You brought
Who's
up
your wiener. Who's calling it first? Wieners, dude?
Huh?
Who calls it a wiener?
I call it a wiener. I call it a wiener. And when your son gets old enough and he's running around, you'll call it a wiener too.
I don't think anyone calls it a wiener, dude.
Come on. That's the preferred nomenclature.
So like you just like in college, you're like, dude, check out this wiener.
No, when it's 10 and under, it's a wiener. Okay. And then whenever you're like 13 through 20, then you can call it whatever you want, right?
Cock.
Yes, that's so crass. That's disgusting. And then, I mean, we're not describing adult videos here, so there's no need for that. And then anything after that, it's fair game. It's whatever suits the occasion. It depends on the context. And what we're talking about here, I'm talking about your privates in a more open, non-medical, but still conversational fashion. So it's a wiener.
Read that comment right there. Well, in his defense, the statue of David is considered the perfect image of a man, and his wiener isn't big at all. That is so
I think that's true. Open Thank to interpretation. If I'm not mistaken, the statue of David is like 12 feet tall. So that, prospectively speaking, that ween is probably pretty large.
Fair. David's also super ripped, though.
He's so super ripped.
He was on EPO, for sure.
He definitely EPO'd out. Well, you know what he did? He ate super clean grass-fed beef with no hormones, just like you can find at Steak Classy Meats when you use promo code FIST and save 10%. So there was definitely, I mean.
Dude, you don't think that the statue of David was drinking alkaline water with his alcohol? Are you kidding?
How would he have even known there was alkaline in the water? What are you talking about? That's made up science. Alkaline water is made up science. It's made up. Are they putting AA batteries in it? What are you talking about? Alkaline in the water? You're making it up as you go.
No, it's a thing. I don't really know what it is.
That's tap water from a house in Dearborn, Michigan, and they're putting a label on it and going, it's alkaline water. And you're like, I love it. Whole Foods, $9 a gallon. Yum, yum, yum. I love it. I'm super hydrated. That's not it, bro.
If it's expensive, it's definitely better for you.
That's true. I bought it at Whole Foods. They can't lie about this.
They can't. They can't.
They can't. It's on the wrap or it's on the label. So listen, you live in California. I've told you this before. Anytime I've been out west, you guys are freaking healthy out there, man.
That's what
you guys are super healthy. You guys, whatever it is that you do out there, keep doing it. My only concern is that you guys, even with all your healthiness, you don't live longer than the rest of the company. So, or the rest of the country. So you really need to, I'm telling you, you come out here, you eat some barbecue, you drink some beer, you get some whiskey in your system and you start living that good life, bro. Come out here. Come on. Come on.
Bro, like I said, once the government gives me the keys to get these shackles off my legs, yeah. I'm there.
Okay. Gotcha. So I will say this, we had something weird happen today and I was at work. And this girl walked through the office and she was like, she got up from her desk and she was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing anymore. Am I wearing a mask still? Like she was just talking to like just nobody. Like they just were all like just sitting there. And she's like, I don't know what to do with this mask thing. I feel like I should wear it, but yet I don't want to wear it. And then if I don't wear it, I feel like people look at me funny. And we were all like, hey, random person, none of us wear masks and haven't for a long time. Why do you feel like you need to wear a mask? She's like, I don't know. I just kind of feel like I feel more comfortable with it on. And I'm like, that was my exact thought. And I don't say anything because HR is not my friend. So I don't want to talk to them at all. And I was like, this is weird. And they're all talking to her and they're like, you know, well, if you want to wear it, you should wear it. And you're doing the right thing by other people. And this other guy's like, what are you talking about? It's 99% survival rate. If you don't want to wear a mask, you ain't got to wear a mask and don't wear it for me. I don't need your charity. And she's like, all right, I'm not going to wear a mask. And she just walked out. And I was like, all right, well, that's a very South Carolina thing. All right, let's go.
Totally. And the thing is, the accent you just said is like so perfect to the person that would say that. Oh, the god dang COVID, dude, 99%er.
Well, that's like, but it's the truth, though.
If you had someone that came and said, hey, the science has told us, much like alkaline water, that 99.9%, you know, like someone says it like that, very succinct and very logical, right. factual, and right. intelligently,
right.
I'm going to believe it more.
Right. But
then the dang COVID.
Well, here's the thing though. Is coronavirus real? 100% it's real. It's been around for a long time. There's variations of it that are more or less deadly than the other ones. I 100% right. agree with that. And like I've said before, my stepdad, Mark, was immunodeficient for a year because he was undergoing chemotherapy. So COVID in our house and in my mom's house was a very real thing. And everybody was very scared of it because the man literally had no immune system. He had no immune system whatsoever. So even the common cold, let alone something like this, could have definitely taken him out. I don't discount COVID as a real thing at all.
No.
But what I'm saying is this girl's like in her mid 20s. She's in good shape. She's like, you know, for all outward appearances, does not appear to have anything wrong with her physically. And it was like this, what struck me about it, and I don't know how we got here, was this, she felt compelled to put this mask on.
Right.
And like she was doing some sort of virtuous thing to help out other people. And I was just like, I don't understand that portion of it. But right. again, it's one of those things where it's like, you do it if you want to, but don't feel like you have to for somebody else if you don't want to. And then it was like causing her, you could see it was like spinning her up. Like, I don't know what to do with myself here. It was like this weird moment that she was having. It was like a very communal thing where she was like, I don't know what to do. Help me. And I was like, so strange. I don't understand that.
It's hardcore, man. You just got to live your life how you want to live it, but don't let anyone impose on your ideology or how you believe you should live your life. Just fucking live your life and wash your fucking hands.
I don't know, man. It's a weird spot for sure. I don't envy anybody that's had to deal with it. I've known people that have had it. I luckily did not. It affects people differently, but it is what it is. All right. So that being said, last one. Thoughts on the recent booking of Tatiana Suarez versus Roxanne Modafferi?
I mean, we talked about this with the Kayla Harrison fight being the most odd line of all time. I feel like, how do you not put freaking Tatiana Suarez at the most crazy heavy favorite money?
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely going to be a huge favorite, but don't forget, Roxanne is like the prospect killer.
I know, but Tatiana Suarez is like the wrestler killer. She is the grade A wrestler outside of like a Carla Esparza in that division. And when you look at that, it's a total confliction in body styles. It's a completely confliction as it relates to fighting styles.
Sure.
I'm going to go with, as you would, always go with a wrestler. And this is a wrestler that's going to come in way thicker. Roxanne Modafferi, while she might be, you know, a little bit more active on her back, when you have someone that thick of a chick laying on you in side control, you're not getting out.
What do you make of the inactivity of Suarez, though? Plus, she's coming off a neck injury, too. Neck injuries right. are so weird, man. Wrestlers with neck injuries, that makes me nervous.
Yeah, if you don't believe when she shoots from the outside to get her, you know, her head on the outside of the hip, she's going to hesitate for a second. Oh, without a doubt. But I think also when you get in there, you get the energy going, the endorphins moving, she'll loosen up. I think ring rust, I don't know what to believe with ring rust, dude. Do I go the Dom Cruz way and think that ring rust is just, it's a Fugazi, dude? Or do I go and think that
fairy dust, bro?
Do I think it's a real thing? I would think if I was a fighter that ring rust is for sure a thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like, I would imagine, I mean, I know what it's like competing in other things. You don't do it for a long time. Like, you know, I mean, what did you play? Water polo? What did you play?
I played everything, dude.
No, what did you play? Come on. Don't
tennis.
Downplay this. I don't know why you downplay this tennis thing. Why do you downplay it? I knew you played tennis because I don't forget anything ever.
I haven't played tennis since college, dude.
Okay. So if you went out and started, what do you swing a racket? If you started swinging the old racket around,
yeah. Can't old, do that anymore.
The old kit, the old rack. If you started swinging that rack, do you think you think you'd be rusty?
Well, I can't because I've had four surgeries on my right arm. I literally cannot swing a racket.
Okay. So let's pretend that you didn't have four surgeries on your right arm and entertain me here. It's freaking goodness gracious, Goldilocks. This one's not. Do you think it without playing for 4 years and Tatiana Suarez is thinking, whatever it's been like 30 months without doing it, do you think that you'd go out there and be able to compete at a high level again?
No.
That's what I'm saying. It has to exist to an extent. It has to. It has to. I mean, I know practice, you practice how you play or whatever the old adage is. But still, man, that's a rough spot to be in to go back in there. I think Roxanne, for all intents and purposes, coming back is a perfect opponent because Roxanne is as slow as time when you're waiting at the DMV. She is just painstakingly slow. I think it'll be just fine as far as fight speed is concerned. It's just going to be the adrenaline of being in an actual fist fight again, I think, is what she's got to worry about. But other than that, I think she'll be just fine. I think Roxanne is a perfect opponent to come back to.
It's a good one. It's a good tune-up. But to a prospect killer, it's also a really scary one.
Gotcha. So next week, we are going to Stoney from Run It Back sent us a text, said next week will be the Dober Hot Wings joint episode. So, probably yet to be determined, but what we will probably do is just do a joint episode with them next week.
Yeah.
With there being no UFC events. So we'll probably just do a joint episode with them instead of a solo episode of us and then another joint venture with them. So we'll probably do the live stream with them next weekend with Dober eating hot wings next Friday or Saturday night. So stay tuned for that. We'll get you a hard time for it. But that's really kind of it, man. Is there anything else you want to talk about tonight?
Dude, speaking of Dober, I don't know if you saw his most recent Instagram post, but he put some quote about there about like living his life and no regrets or whatever it is. And he's sitting there looking out to the Denver land, just, uh-huh, you know, ominous, whatever. And he's holding a beer. And I'm like, hell yeah, Dobes, dude. He's living that life, dude. He's having a beer. Honed in on that beer. It's a diet ginger beer.
Diet ginger beer.
Damn it. I'm like, he's such an athlete, dude.
Does ginger beer have alcohol in it?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, so ginger beer is like root beer.
Yeah.
But with ginger. Ooh, is it spicy?
But I was all pumped. I'm like, you 183 monster right now, just living your best life.
Well, he told you he drinks wine. He said he doesn't like beer. He likes wine.
I know. But for a moment, I was like, look at this guy. And then it was diet ginger beer. So
what do we want to try to do here? Let's plot and scheme real quick. Do you want to see if we can't somehow convince him to get hammered for Saturday night?
Yeah. Or, dude, what if we all drink wine?
Oh, please don't make me drink wine. Can I drink beer or whiskey?
No, we're going to drink wine. We're going to go pinkies up. I'm bringing my top hat. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not our show. So it's the Run It Back show. So we'll see what they want to do.
Right.
But yeah. All right. We'll do some alcohol. We'll do some chicken wings. We'll answer their questions. Lord knows what those guys are going to ask us, man. I have no idea. Real quick. Last one in the chat. Thoughts on Gon versus Lewis in that situation. Oh, let's talk about this real quick. Let's do Gon Lewis. And then we'll wrap up with your thoughts on the Joe Schilling situation. So Gon Lewis, interim title fight. What are your thoughts on the interim title fight with Gon versus Lewis?
Absurd.
Really? Right, you think it's right absurd? Absurd?
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay.
Ngannou fought in March, dude.
Ngannou fart. Okay, good.
He fought in March.
True.
We True. Waited years and years and years for other people, called the DCs, mm-hmm. the Stipe ordeal. But what, 3 months later and you're already calling for interim?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely not.
Dude, I'm all for it. Here's why. If you, dude, featherweight and heavyweight are the two most logjam, downtrodden, slow moving, drudge, Israelites through the forest, 40 years of wandering with nothing happening divisions in the entire UFC. In the last, what, 4 years, 5 years, there's been the same two, three people fighting each other round robin in both of those divisions for titles. And then they do it, and they do it 9 months to a year apart. Yes, to your point, he won it in March, okay?
Dude, he wanted to move it to September.
He said it was March. March! You said he won it in March. Perfect.
No, I know. I'm saying...
Just let me finish my point.
No. He, real quick, dude... They wanted to give him August. Mm-hmm. He said no September. Mm-hmm. So not only did he only fight 3 months ago, but mm-hmm. he only wanted to change the calendar by a month.
Mm-hmm. And that's if he's able to make it to the show at that time, if he can make it, barring no injury, barring no pullout from Derek Lewis. March fight with Stipe. First UFC heavyweight title fight of the year happens 3 months in. So we're at the end of the first quarter. So we have a March, April, May, June, July, August. September, 5 months later. Okay. So now we're 8 months into the year. He's not going to fight before the end of the year. So that means in the entire calendar year, your boy defended the title one time per calendar year. The UFC wants an active heavyweight champion. They are praying to the MMA gods that Brian Ortega beats Alexander Volkanovsky because they want to make Ortega active. They are praying that they can get an active heavyweight champ. And the fact that either Ngannou or his manager doesn't want to play ball, all they're doing is just flexing their muscle. Interim title fights mean nothing. Look at the Justin Gaethje interim title. Do you remember Justin Gaethje was an interim heavyweight or interim lightweight champ at one time? Remember that?
Right.
That was a thing. They gave Justin Gaethje a belt. Remember that? And he set it down on the ground. I was like, yeah, I don't want that. Neither one of these guys have to do that, but they need to bill it as something in order to keep the division moving forward. I understand that you've got Francis Ngannou fighting, but the dude's fought five times in the last 3 years and has 4 total minutes of fight time. Nobody wants to see him fight if you're not a hardcore fan. You cannot sell him to the casual fan because you don't get to see him often enough. You know what made Mike Tyson so great? Mike Tyson, in his heyday, you know what made him so great when he was 19 and he was 20-0 with 20 knockouts and nobody had seen the second round? Is the dude fought every 6 weeks. So it was like, oh, cool, you missed him in September? Great, watch when he knocks out this other tomato can at the end of October. Oh, you missed that one? You're in luck. Here's a Turkey Day special. He's going to knock out some other tomato can. So you were able to build the hype around him because people saw him being active and actively murdering people. Francis Ngannou, I'm going to fight once every 3, 4, 5, 6 months. I'm going to fight for 30 seconds. I'm going to come at you like a wild cat and knock you out, and then I'm just going to disappear into the wayside. I don't speak great English, so I'm not super personable. Yeah, he's a nice guy, but people are like, all right, cool, that guy's nice and soft-spoken. All right, cool, I guess he's nice. Feel-good story, you know, he worked in the salt mines of Cambodia or whatever that was. Great. But are there people out there going, wow, look at the story of Francis Ngannou. I really cannot wait to see him fight again. No.
Can you say that about Gane and Lewis? Lewis is a fake comedian and Gane is soft-spoken too.
Of course. That's why they want to just get them fighting, because they need something to happen. That's my whole point. Cyril Gane makes me fall asleep. He starts talking, I fell asleep. When he fights, I'm awake. When he starts talking, I fall asleep. Derek Lewis is like funny as long as he's not trying to be funny. But he's athlete funny like Shaq. The moment he tries, he's not funny anymore. But you got to not try. So, yeah, for sure. Heavyweight right now are a bunch of duds. It's a duddy division.
It depends how you hold that interim belt. Dude, if you're a Colby Covington, it's the real belt, dude.
Right, but none of them have the personality of a Colby. None of them. None of them. They're all – dude, it's classic big guy stuff. Have you ever met big guys that are like full of zeal and personality and quick on their feet and, you know, like snappy? No, they're all California. They're all just, well, I'm just chilling, conserving energy because I'm big as a house. Like that's it. Like my buddy Bob, he's one of the largest human beings I've ever seen in my entire life. He's comically large, like 6'8", 320 pounds, but Bob is the nicest person on the planet Earth. He got into a fight the other day. I'm gonna tell a Bob fight story. So my friend Bob,
like Fight Club, dude.
No, my friend Bob, who's like 6'7", 6'8", 320 pounds, got into a fight at the golf course the other day. He was at a scramble with my brother, and you know my brother, he's a notorious shit stirrer. He carries around a spoon so he can stir it up wherever he goes.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that's drunk because it's a golf scramble. And if you're going to golf, you got to drink beer. It's a thing. And this guy is walking around and he's talking a lot of trash. And they're with another gentleman who's part of their scramble party, who's fairly soft-spoken. And for whatever reason, this soft-spoken gentleman is the object of the drunk guy's ire. The drunk guy's after this dude for whatever reason. He's trying to pick a fight. Bob repeatedly warns this guy, and Trey, I'm not joking when I tell you 6'8" and over 300 pounds. He's massive. Now, is he chiseled? No, but he's a big boy. You don't want him to get a hold of you.
Right.
And Bob's like, kind of like, hey, dude, you got to stop. Just chill out. This dude does not want to do it. So Bob, while this guy's picking a fight with the soft-spoken guy, walks up behind him, puts him in a rear naked choke, and chokes him unconscious. very calm, very cool, very collected. There mm-hmm. There was no trash talk. There was no nothing. He literally choked this guy unconscious in the middle of a golf course parking lot with 100 right. people around. Just choked this guy unconscious for no, like just whatever. The guy had his car open because he was getting ready to leave and drive drunk. So he saved him from getting a DUI. But then in his gentle green mile way, picked up this guy's lifeless body that he just choked out and set him inside of his car and shut the door.
That's genius.
Who does that except for a big guy? Who does that? Big guys do that. If you did that to somebody, would you pick him up and put him in the car? No, you'd leave him laying in the parking lot or you'd stomp on him while he was sleeping.
No, because I'm in California and they'd probably sue me. So I'd probably do the exact same thing and just hope that the guy thinks like, oh shit, I got so wasted. I was thinking about driving, but I passed out.
Dude, I don't understand it. So shout out.
Everyone in California has an uncle that's a lawyer that's willing to sue.
Yeah, it's true. Well, Charleston's the same way. Everybody, most of the thing here is, do you know who my dad is or who my uncle is?
Yeah.
It's a lot of who my dad, who my uncle is here.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of who my dad, who my uncle is. So yeah, shout out to my boy, Bobby Swartout. He played collegiate basketball and baseball, dual sport athlete. Was a bad mamma jamma when it comes to, also got me ludicrously drunk last time we played beer pong together because he is a sniper on the cups, just a sniper, ludicrously drunk.
Just, and I'm hitting Fire Island all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. So I fancy myself as a pretty decent pong player and he's like, oh, you think you're good. There's levels to this, son. And just murdered me.
You seem like the guy I'd partner with and you'd start bouncing off the right away. Right off the rip, you'd start bouncing. I'd be like, what are you're trying to bounce? We're trying to get to Fire Island, dude. Back off.
Please. That's not the case at all. I am a calm, cool, collected tactician when it comes to drinking games. I'm the consummate athlete, competitive statesman when it comes to all things competitive. You cannot ask for a better partner than me.
I'm a liability.
Yeah, I know you are.
Spill my own glasses. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, I know. All right. Yeah. All right. And the last thing, talking about being drunk in public, Joe Schilling pieced up. They said he was drunk, but to me, he looked like a dude vibing. Joe Schilling just butchered this dude, man. Your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I've gone back and forth, dude. I don't know, man. He's just enjoying his time at Applebee's and freaking professional fighter comes out of nowhere and just cold cocks him.
Well, he didn't come out of nowhere. There was a confrontation.
Slight, and he flexed ever so slight with his shoulders, but
he did kind of, he did give him the,
he proud peacocked him for a quick second. You know, he stuck his chest out. My thing is, you're a professional fighter. You are.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Go ahead. Keep going. Cause I wanted to address this person particularly.
Yeah. I think it came in our DMs. Like, you're a professional fighter.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's a tool set. It's like, as if you were to like carry, dude, like you hold a special talent or a special thing in your fist that could put the lights out on anyone. Like, I think it's almost like employment status. If you are employed by a fighting agency and that's what you do for a living and that's how you make your buck, you shouldn't be able to use your tools at work outside of the workplace. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. Now, he might have been totally in the right. The guy might have been a total racist prick. He might have had, you know, issues with his previous, you know, female companions prior to that. Might have rightly so deserved every piece of that, you know, three piece that he got to his absolute face. Don't disagree with that. I just don't know if Joe Schilling, you know, walking up in a 2-second thing can flip the switch and put the lights on someone without getting his hand slapped just ever so slightly.
Interesting. Okay. So a couple different things with this. My beers are starting to kick in. We gotta get out of here before I get us in trouble. All right. So I understand the point you're making, right? This freaking guy. Oh, he's got me so angry. I'm going to try to keep it under control here. All right.
No, so let it fly. I've heard a couple of comments today. I'm just like, let's just cancel ourselves, dude.
Right. Go. Cancel it. Go for it.
Run, young cub.
No. So here's the thing, right? Is that my man is at Smokey Bones, Applebee's, whatever this restaurant is, whatever this establishment is. And if you're unfamiliar with the video that we're talking about, it's all over social media. You can just simply search Joe Schilling fight or whatever, or you can go to our social channel, Punchless MMA, and check it out. What we have here is a gentleman at a, he's in a suit or not, a, he's in a tie, appears to be some sort of corporate function. There's a female there. She's hugging on him. He seems to be vibing, having a good time, right? There's music playing. It is rap music. I'm not sure what is, I believe it was Snoop, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's a dirty little secret that's not a secret that everybody knows. Okay.
What are you going to say?
If you're a dude, white dude, Hispanic dude, Asian guy, white guy, black guy, purple guy, and you're listening to Snoop, 50 Cent, Lil Jon, any of the Lils, any of that, any of that. I don't care if you have, I don't,
the N-word.
No, I don't care if you have one beer in you or you have 10 beers in you. When you rap those lyrics,
you skip a word.
You don't, though. You don't. So let me ask you. So when you're in the car, let's say you're in the car, okay, and you're by yourself, you're telling me you edit yourself. No. It's a yes or no question, Trey. It's a yes or no question.
All right, fine.
You answer.
No,
you,
by answer myself. No.
You don't. Exactly. So if you're with your boys, let's say it's me and you in the car and we're vibing, are you editing yourself?
No.
Exactly. So my man is at no, listen, my man is third at, my man is at Applebee's. He's got what? It's $1 vodka lemonade night. He's got four or five of them in him. He's with his people and he's having a good time.
Public place.
He's in a place. Sure. Sure. Everybody's tolerance for that is different. What I'm saying,
not editing myself in a public place.
I understand you. You are editing yourself.
I'm not editing myself in a public place. I'm editing myself with my boys in a confined space, not in a public place. Absolutely not.
What? That's the opposite. Flip that. You're saying it wrong.
No, if I'm in the car with my boys or I'm in the confines of my house with my boys, I'm not editing myself. If sure. I'm at Applebee's, I'm at a restaurant and there's other passer goers or people nearby, sure. I'm editing myself.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, are you doing the same thing in what appears to be a relatively empty restaurant and you're 6, 7, 8 vodka lemonades deep? Are you still going to have that same wherewithal and self-control?
Speculation,
exactly. Okay, so that being said, it's not like my man's there with a white hood on leading a Klan rally. He's vibing along to Snoop, okay? That doesn't excuse it if you want to put a lot of weight on that. But what bothers me about this is Joe Schilling said he went outside to smoke. Now, you and I have watched, and anybody listening to this has watched a million different fight videos on YouTube and Instagram and everything else. Anytime there is picture-perfect cinematography, non-shakiness that's being set up, it's either a security camera or it's premeditated. So explain to me why there was a camera perfectly placed on this dude.
Oh, boy.
Why was there a camera perfectly placed on my man? And even during the conflict, it didn't move. Somebody didn't shake it to go see what was happening. It just stayed perfect because somebody, i.e. Joe Schilling's boys, were like, Joe's really mad. Watch this. I'm going to see if we'll just go ahead and hit record here and just see what happens. And then they just sat back knowing full well that something could happen and something did happen. Now, I want to address, go ahead. You have something to say. Go ahead. What do you got?
No. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't think this was premeditated, but go on.
I don't think it was premeditated, but I think that I think everybody has been in a situation like this where whether you go to a bar or you go to a restaurant with a bar and it's at a certain point in time in the evening and there are people and patrons in that place that you can tell are putting off a different vibe.
Right.
That they aren't looking for it, but they're not avoiding it either.
Right.
They're the ones that get a little bit louder. They're the ones that kind of walk around. They're the ones that are talking louder, that don't really care if there's kids in there. They're dropping really loud F-bombs or whatever the case may be. They're not looking for it, but they're not avoiding it either.
Right.
And Joe Schilling being Joe Schilling has never struck me as the type of dude, because you've heard Cowboy tell a million stories about him and Joe fighting random dudes at bars, has never struck me as the type of dude to completely avoid a confrontation or back away from it in any way, shape, or form. So whether or not Joe was looking for it, he wasn't shying away from anything whatsoever that night. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, I'm going to address this person that got us on Instagram. Said, why is a fighter held to a higher standard in these situations, but anybody else in a different profession isn't? Joe Schilling reacted like a normal person would have because he is a normal person. The guy's body language didn't look helpless till he got knocked out. I very much disagree with this. I very much disagree with this. So why is that a fighter is held to a higher standard in these situations, but anybody else in a different profession isn't? You're one. The levels of stupidity in that statement alone are staggering. And here's why they're staggering. Let's apply that to police officers. Okay. As a police officer, you are what? You are held to a higher standard in conflict resolution and the distribution of violence, or you're supposed to be anyway, right? That is a higher standard. If you are a professional fighter, this is what you do for a living to pay your bills. You use conflict to pay your bills. You are held to a higher standard in matters of conflict and violence. You should be able to either, one, be way more proficient than everybody else in them, or two, understand the idea of what force is necessary to defuse a situation more than your average person. In the same way that you don't send the military after somebody when they're speeding, right? A guy bumps into you in a bar and says, hey, and turn around. You don't have him eating out of a straw for the rest of his life.
Right.
That's not, you brought a bazooka to a snowball fight. It's not the same thing, dude. It's not the same thing. Now, the flip side of that is there's a part of me that says you're a grown man, talk shit, get hit. That's also a thing. There's context to this that we'll never know. There's nuance to this situation we'll never understand. But it's very tongue in cheek when Joe Schilling says, I was in fear of my life. Dude, you're saying that tongue in cheek. I get that. It's not the same thing, though. You weren't in fear for your life. That guy was 150 pounds, 8 vodka lemonades deep at Applebee's, vibing with the office secretary. Chill out, dude. Chill out. And you swung immediately. There was no push to gain distance, nothing. You literally, if you watch the video in slow motion, he didn't even set his right foot. He literally threw a right hook while on one foot. He didn't even set his feet for it. He was predetermined he was going to punch from the time he turned around.
Oh, 100%. But if you're on, you know, 7 vodka lemonades, dude, someone could go blow me over, dude.
But that's you. That's you. It's not the rest of us. We don't all drink seltzers all the time.
Dude, I said vodka lemonades.
Right. Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. You drink seltzer so much that if I got you some $1 vodka lemonades at Applebee's, I'd have to carry you out of there.
Probably. Yeah.
I just have to carry you out like a little baby.
I know. I'd be holding all the umbrellas that came with it, though.
That's true. So, yeah, I just think that when violence is part of your profession, you are held to a higher standard. And anything. And I don't even think it has to be limited to violence. I'd say a doctor. If you're a fucking doctor, I expect you to be better at medicine than somebody that's not a doctor. The standard and expectation is higher. Like Charlie says here, you're a pro. You have options. Yes. I said 10,000 words. Charlie summed it up in, what is this? 7. He's a pro. He has options. Thank you, Charlie. You nailed it, man. You nailed it. So yeah, that's exactly it. So I think Joe Schilling's in the wrong. I'm all for defending yourself. I'm all for meeting violence with a greater violence in order to stop yourself from being in a threat. That's part of the force continuum. It's something that military and law enforcement's been ingrained in me for years and years and years. You take the next level up. You meet their force with an equal or greater force. That guy said, hey, and then flinched at you. Kudos to Joe. You got lightning fast reflexes. You're a professional fighter. I think you probably could have pushed him and accomplished the same thing. I don't think you need to hit him 7 times on his way to the ground and then leave the guy in a state of utter unconsciousness. And then the whole nonsense about the busboy didn't want to say anything because he was going to get fired. It's not 1931. Don't do that anymore. Just stop with that narrative.
Yeah.
Stop with that narrative. The busboy didn't want to say anything because he would have got fired. That restaurant does not operate like it's the 1930s. That kid that's bussing tables that does not think it's the 1930s. He did not think he was going to get fired if he went to his manager and said, this guy was saying derogatory, racist things to me. it's in fact the exact opposite of that now. So, I mean, goodness gracious, just Schilling is just eight shades of full of shit, man. But he did piece him up quick, dude. I mean, if you've ever watched the Boss Rutten, how to survive a bar fight videos, I mean, he executed perfectly. Have you ever watched those?
No, because again, I've told you every single time, bar fight, I'm pulling guard.
Yeah. If you haven't and you have time, I know you haven't, but anybody listening, you have time, go on YouTube and we'll just watch Boss Rutten's like street fighting tutorials. They're amazing. And Joe Schilling executed perfectly. So
hey,
hats off to Joe.
I know. The other guy didn't even have a chance. Normally, if I get in a fight like at a bar, I like immediately, the first thing I do is I look back at my boys and I just tell them to hold me back. And then I just say, oh, hold me back. And then hopefully right. It kind of dissipates and I walk away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing too, is like somebody walks up behind you in a situation like that. And I'm just going to call this guy Tyler because he looks like a Tyler.
A Kyle.
So you think he was a Kyle? No.
You think he's Kyle?
I think he's a Tyler.
Why? Because he was not drinking a Monster Energy drink?
No, I just looked like a tie. I mean, it was honestly, it was like the gray Van Heusen shirt with the tie that comes with it when you get it like from Kohl's. Like you bought the shirt tie combo that came together.
Yes, dude. So that's for sure what it was. So that was the combo.
So he's got Tyler went to Kohl's. He got the Van Heusen shirt tie combo. And my man's vibing, you know, he's having a good time. He did the thing. I don't know what this was. He was hitting him with the double move, right? Whatever that was.
Yeah.
So he's hitting him with that. And a guy like Joe Schilling, who, you know, comes up and he kind of moved him like a chess piece. He was like, and just kind of moved him off to the side. You're going to go, hey man, you could have said, excuse me or something. So imagine this, right? Like you're having a good time standing there. Somebody walks up behind you. Forcibly lifts your body in the air and sets you down, and it walks by you, and you go, "Hey, man!" Like when he turns around, you're gonna go, "You could have just said, excuse me." But by the time you go, you could have just said, and he just,
yeah,
and you're asleep, bro. It was like that. It was too fast. Anyway, golly, man. Okay, yeah. Doesn't matter. All right. Guys, if you don't already follow us on social media, maybe you do. Maybe you already hit the unfollow button. I don't know. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can go to @PunchlessMMA. We're everywhere @PunchlessMMA. If you want to shoot us an email because you're 75, you can do so. chat@PunchlessMMA. If you want to support the show, the best way to do it is by supporting or showing love to the show sponsors, Allegiance Clothing. Go to allegianceclothing.com. Use promo code PUNCH. You can save 15% site-wide. Shout out to Dalton Kent. You want yourself $50 at the Allegiance store. Shout out to Tombstone Taylor Johnson. Congrats on your massive win last Friday. Seriously, man, just blew my vocal cords out screaming at the TV, man. So happy for you and your family, your wife. You got a baby on the way. Just good people doing good things, man. Just over the moon for you. Congratulations. And then Stay Classy Meats. Go to Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FIST. Save 10% on the entire thing today. Which is the 29th, and tomorrow being the 30th, is the last day that you can order the 4th of July special. You get free overnight shipping, 5 pounds of ribeyes and 2 pounds of Mexican blue shrimp, 25% off. Use promo code FIST, save an additional 10, get delivered to your door the next day. The best meat on the planet Earth. So yeah, absolutely. A little bit weirder episode. We didn't have any fights to break down, but it is what it is. You guys know what to expect at this point. We're almost 2 years deep into this bad boy, so nothing should be a surprise at this point. So appreciate everybody that continues to support the show. If you haven't done so already, consider liking, subscribing, sharing with somebody that doesn't know who we are, or leaving a review on iTunes. Anything else?
Bang, bang, dude.
Bang, bang. All right. Be good to each other. We'll see you guys.